punchup.live, go check out our movie watch along. We did Made in Manhattan from a popular comedy festival. I don't know if we're going to say it. I'm afraid if we say it, we might get in trouble. But we did it at a very popular comedy festival. That was fun. And I got Tim Dillon, Joe DeRosa, and James McCann to watch Made in Manhattan with me. So if you go to punchup.live, sign up, give them your email address. Not only will you be on my mailing list, which we don't spam, it's just when I'm in town, and you'll be able to watch this for free, for absolutely nothing. We had such a good time. Pimp did a great job editing it, put it up on PunchUp. Go check it out, punchup.live. Hey, Spokane, Washington, August 20th through August 22nd. I'm going to be at Spokane Comedy Club in Spokane, Washington. I'm excited to come back. I love it. I'm bringing the very funny Tom Thakar with me. And we're going to have a hell of a time. And then, all the way in September, Empire Comedy Club in Portland, Maine. Tickets are almost sold out. But if you go to dansoder.com, all my live dates are posted. See which show you're the closest to, and come on out. And I'll see you there. Oh, dude, today when I was doing some work, she just sat next to me and was like, "No, it's never enough."
No, I have a retired guide dog that we adopted, and she was three.
Okay,
she did it, got the assignment, passed all the tests, got a woman up in Oregon, and then I guess the woman got sick or was a little abusive, and left her in a cage too much, so she got weird. So they brought her back to guide dogs, but they couldn't reprogram her, so that becomes available for adoption.
Sure. Because they go, if we give this to a blind person, they're going to run out in traffic.
The dog's a maniac.
They're just going to run right out of it.
She's a liability.
Yeah.
But like a pet chimp, she's a very smart liability.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, I grew up with really wild animals.
Okay.
I was like, I would love, not like wild, just untrained dogs.
So you were the house.
We always had dogs who bit.
Did you have, and you know, shout out my friend Joey. I still love him to death. Did you have the house where the dog would not stop barking when a friend would come over?
Not only that, the dog would attack. If the dog got out, it was like a coyote on the streets.
How many dogs did you have growing up?
There was always
that a dog. Were a problem at any given time.
Every single dog.
Every dog you had was a problem. Why were they not?
My mom.
Your mom was just like, I love dogs and I'm never going to give them rules.
The opposite. My mom was like, a little bit of the old school, and there was some, and this is not for a camera, but there was some techniques she did for punishment.
You know what? My mom watches this podcast, so I know my mom's watching this. There were moments when my mom scolded my dog where I was like, don't do that.
Yeah, totally.
You don't rub their face in it. That kind of shit. Where
the
you're
old
like,
school.
Yeah, and then that would make sure.
There was a few things my mom would do to dogs that, looking back, I went like, you tipped him over the edge.
But yeah, dude, you can't.
Well, especially now, I've married a very sweet woman. I got a whole different life, but now we treat our dogs like they're essentially children.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I'll look and I'm like, you don't know me.
You have no idea.
You don't know what this can be, motherfucker. Well,
that's what we say to her whenever she's like being too much of a like prima donna or kind of like primpy, and we're like, yo, there's dogs that just sleep outside. So don't make us.
There are homeless people that have your breed.
Yeah, we've walked by it.
You could have that. You know what you eat?
Don't act like you're a real dog. You're not a real dog. You're a pampered ass bitch.
So we have two dogs. We have a retired guide dog, and then we have a dog that was a backyard breeding dog that ran off. But then we got her, and she's an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, those are great.
Love them.
Yeah.
My other dog, my lab, the retired guide dog, looks at them like we're both the same thing.
Yeah,
the other one I look at once in a while, I'm like, I get you, but we don't get this bitch.
My mom adopted a dog. The most recent dog she adopted, they found on an oil derrick in New Mexico, like living there for days. And the crew would like feed it. And it was a really sweet. She is the sweetest dog in the world.
That's my dog, who's the mini Aussie.
Okay.
She's just special.
It is. Freckles, my mom's dog, is like the sweetest dog in the world, where it's too much, where you like pet her and she's like, and you're like, all right, come on. You're like kind of creeping me out.
You know what it is? It's when you're younger and you meet somebody who just got out of a bad relationship.
Yeah. And they're just like, can you hold my hand?
Yeah. And you're like, I'm into you. And you're right. I'm never going to do that stuff. It's too much for me. I'm not full. I don't know how to do this, but exactly. I agree. We have a nice thing, but it's too.
And you go, put it away. Put your fucking, put that shit away. And she'll be over there. But when we go on our road trip for Christmas and we're out in Denver and we have Myrtle and that dog playing, I'll say to Myrtle all the time, I go, that dog lived a life.
They really get it.
That dog appreciates its food.
So it appreciates
everything it fucking has.
We had an outdoor cat and I have allergies, so it can never come in. Mm-hmm. Peter, he lived with us for 14 years.
Yeah, he did.
And I'm not kidding when I say, and this was from some late nights on some certain drinking days or when I was getting too stoned, where I would just look at him and I'd be like, you're probably the toughest individual I've ever met. They'd be like a pack of coyotes that would come through the neighborhood. I would look at him and Aaron would be like, should we bring him in the garage? And I'd be like, maybe try to get him. He'd run off. I'd see him on a roof. I'd be like, you're the baddest motherfucker I ever met, dude. He had no respect for me. And I would honestly feel when I would look at him at times where we were both trying to hustle my wife, where I'd be like, I got a nice thing cooking here, Peter. Don't fuck it up with Aaron. And he would look at me and be like, I see you, you fucking rat. And I'd be like, I'm in the house.
Yeah, I'm inside. You're outside.
I'm straight. It's inside. You're out.
I can lock you out.
And I'm going to. And I will. I'm faking allergies.
If Peter would have been a human, you would have been intimidated by him. He would have been like a guy at a bar that you go, I'm not even going to talk to
him. My life goes one of two ways.
Yeah.
Either I would have been so far away from Peter. There are certain people I meet and they go, something scary.
Yeah.
And I don't care if everybody in my group goes, love that guy.
No, those are the scariest.
I don't love that guy. Also, I don't want to be with him. If a knight gets on top of me, he's not the guy I want to be like, I did say something stupid.
Yeah.
I was trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And I promise you, I didn't think about it.
Please don't try to hurt me.
Your reaction is at a 10. I live at a 4, brother.
Yeah. This is too much.
Yeah. Or that guy right away, it connects like Legos.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
those are my favorite people.
You're the craziest person I've ever met, but I actually trust you like no one's business, and I really connect to you.
There were people that when I used to drink, like regulars at the bar I'd go to, that when a new friend would come with me to a bar, it was almost like being a falconer, where you go, that guy looks dangerous, and you go, watch this, and he lands on your arm, and you go,
that is exactly it.
And you go, ooh, now, he can get dangerous at any moment, so be careful around
him. He's a wild animal, but it won't be with me. As long as we're together, you're 100% safe. But here's what I promise you not to do. Don't move around fast.
Do not. And also, don't get up quick.
And don't go like this. Yeah. You do that.
You're in trouble.
I'm dead too.
If you have books, do not drop them on the ground. He will revert to Vietnam where all this damage occurred.
And guess what? Then you're on. But I have that way with our dog. Our dog, the guide dog, when they got him, there would be like rules. Small kids can't come from behind. Skinny men in mustaches. Uniform men. There were like things she had.
And that's always why I think we freak out if your dog ever barks at a black person, because the black person goes, well, now I know I'm your thing. I'm your don't totally. Walk up on a dog. You know what I mean? And you go, so what happened? Yeah. And you go, either racist or this dog was harmed by a black person.
Oh, yeah. Or what's really awful is you go, honestly, I don't know.
That's
and then you go, and if it's between, especially if it's a black friend.
Oh my God.
You know, and they're going, what's up with your dog? You go, well, let me make something crystal clear. It doesn't speak English. It's heard no subtle joke references. It's just what that breed thinks right now. So either it's your people or it's just you, my man.
Or you just got bad vibes.
You have bad vibes.
When it is a friend. And you're apologizing and you say the line. This never happens. You always like toss that out or you go, I don't know why this is happening.
I don't know why this is happening.
And then your black friend goes, I know, because you're racist. And you go, no, but that can't be.
You know
what? It's just that he's barking.
Somebody said to me, and I feel like it's Lamorne, but it might be somebody else. But I think what somebody really bugs me once is goes, damn, you don't have enough black people over.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, my dog does not experience enough black people.
That's what it is.
Then you go like, that's garbage.
That's
on me.
Now I've got to save the last dance, my dog. I have to keep my dog rhythm.
Only mushy, annoying white guys come here.
I'm going to tell Katie and go, we're leaving Soul Train on for her whenever we leave the house. That is going to be the only way we get past this. We're going to put on old episodes of 106 in the Park or Soul Train just to get our dog. You and I both waited tables in New York City from 2007. When did you stop? 07?
Earlier than that. So I lived here in 99 to 2002.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, you were here for 9/11.
I was here for 9/11.
Oh,
I walked down to the towers at 9/11.
After it happened?
Yeah. I was in Queens. It happened. I walked over the bridge, walked downtown, and was just hanging out. And then.
And you haven't been approached by any law firms for mesothelioma?
There
you
go.
I believe you're. You might be. Now, I'm just talking about subway abs, but you might be entitled. Were you also at Camp Lejeune?
Will you represent me? Yeah. And can we make a run at this see what we can do?
He goes, yeah, Dan Soder's a comic. Did you also know that he's like an ambulance chaser?
Know he's my guy?
And he'll fuck you up in court? He's the bulldog.
Wait, so did you stop drinking?
Yeah, in 2013.
So not meetings and all that? Or did you
No, I read a book called The Easy Way to Stop Drinking by Alan Carr.
And it worked.
Well, I'd tried quitting and I'd tried going to meetings and stuff and nothing really. And then this book was like, reframed the way that I looked at drinking, and it actually worked.
Wow.
And then once I got far enough, I talked to friends of mine who were in the program, and they would tell me like 90 days, get to 90 days. Right. And it's the truth. I got to 90 days and I was kind of like,
different.
Why would I go back to that?
That's cool.
Because I just remember the bad shit.
Yeah.
And when you're a waiter in New York City, it's almost mandatory you drink.
Well, I honestly say for majority of my day jobs before acting started, drinking or getting stoned before a day job was just part of it.
Listen, you can take it, and feel free to take an SSRI.
Yes.
Feel free to take something else. Right. I needed a couple one hitters and a Dunkin' Donuts on my way to Open Cafe.
Yes, but not only that for me. So I used to when I used to cater on boats. So we would do weddings
here in New York,
in Los Angeles.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. That's so, like Party Down shit.
Yes, it was exactly like Party Down. We would do weddings. So you would do an entire wedding party, and then you could do two in a night.
On a boat. So the boat does like a run.
Exactly. I think it was Newport Beach. You pull up at the thing. You have your little tuxedo on.
Yeah.
There's four of you total.
How many tuxedo pieces did you own?
Not a lot. Two or three.
My all blacks, I had maybe two shirts.
It was, truthfully, and this is what people, when they do those events, it's disgusting stuff. Because you're not washing it that much.
No. And you're sweating. You're sweating. So you get yellow neck on
your... Also, like, the food splattering my little... I would be like... And I would get home to my disgusting apartment. I'd be like, should I wash it for tomorrow's event? Fuck off, man. I have 14 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not spending four of them doing that.
They would get mad when I would bring... My apron I would just leave it at work because there was lockers. Perfect. And my apron would just... Disgusting. I did lunches. So I made no money and I was running around. And when I would clean it in the cappuccino station because of the steam, and my manager's coming around, you're like, what? And he's like, that's fucking disgusting.
It's disgusting.
And you're like, I don't give a shit about this job.
I'm
sure as fuck not going to launder it after every shift. No, you bring it home and you go, what can I get off with? Water
as fast as I can.
And so I can sit down and not think about going back tomorrow.
I gotta say, I have still to this day, certain day jobs I'll see people and I'll have so much respect, especially now that I'm getting near 50, when I'll see somebody our age grinding it out and they seem to have a good attitude. I'm like, you're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Because, and I don't have it if it's like a 27 year old. I'm like, don't care. I'm like, you don't know.
25
yet.
Trying to upsell, get fucked.
Don't care. Don't. I was like, whatever. But when it's a full on adult.
Yeah.
And whatever you came to New York to do, or if this is what you wanted to do, you know, this is it through probably 65. And then you're going to slow down and you're going to figure it out. I go like, you got a fucking great attitude and you're kicking and grinding here and you're being less of a bitch than me.
Yeah.
And I'm bitching right now because, like, it was a little hot. And my bitching feels very real to me.
Yeah. The older people that, I don't know if you've ever worked at a steakhouse.
No.
But steakhouses are kind of where old waiters go to make, like,
real money.
Yeah, because when you're at a steakhouse and you have an older waiter, there's just, like, this level of trust where you just go, like, you're going to know how to cook this. You're going to know what.
All. Yeah. But by the way, so anytime I do Kimmel now, I go to Frank Amuso's after. And I'll say to the people there, because I'm not going on a regular night.
Sure.
So a buddy of mine will mostly come with me to the taping, and you get like the $400 for the night. So I go like, let's just piss all like great. Over order.
Great.
This is not real life.
Great.
I'm not going to go like this. You're getting a shrimp cocktail? This is the first night in a while. I'm not going to count anything.
Don't just go nuts.
No, it's just an hour of doing, and I'm not a stand-up. So that night for me is like, it's not a pleasant feeling.
Well,
I'm like,
it's doing panel is you, I mean, you come from the improv world.
I know,
is,
but it was so long ago.
Yeah, but you still got it. You still have that, like, you still know how to, like, the way that, like, when you watch Tom Brady play catch with someone before he does a Fox game.
Do the thing.
And he's just going, like,
yes.
Oh, I kind of know how to do it. I don't think I would.
I don't want to do this anymore.
You're not on a team anymore. Yes. You're not running fucking, yes. You know, you're not doing ass cat every Sunday.
But, no, but what's different is when you see a real stand-up doing it, they have all their bits so beaten down that they can still, like, and I didn't really know this about stand-ups, but my buddy Hannibal Buress, we made a movie years ago.
Yeah, Tag.
Tag.
Which is great. Shout out Jeff Tomczyk.
Jeff Tomczyk, the great Tomczyk. Yeah. He's like, yo, I'm doing a show tonight. You want to come? Chappelle's performance.
Sure.
By the way, you're Chappelle.
Oh, so, thank you.
So I'm a fan, Dan. I watch your pod. I watch your clips, man.
Thanks, dude. I'm a fan, yeah. So that's great. But
your stories where you would do Chappelle.
Oh, I mean, Chappelle's my favorite. He's my number one of all time.
So your Chappelle, like, is so good.
I've met him briefly a couple times, but I don't really want to meet him because I just know someone showed him a clip and it's like,
agreed.
And we both know this because we've worked in entertainment long enough. Nobody likes an impression of themselves.
By the way, you're right.
Nobody.
Now, some people know how to be cool about it.
Sure.
I think it's the same with roasted. So people will go like, dude, these are my fucking friends.
Yeah.
We roast. And then you're like, I know everyone's getting their feelings hurt.
A joke, yes. And you know what it is? It's usually like, I'm a big pro wrestling guy. Pro wrestlers get injured in weird ways where it's like not falls they're used to.
Right.
And that's what happens. It's like a joke that you're not used to and you go, ugh.
By the way, that is exactly right. There's certain things. So my buddies and I will all roast each other constantly.
Sure.
But it's always the same stuff.
Yeah.
You're being roasted on the stuff where we're like, I know I'm weird with that.
Yes, I am. I do interrupt a lot.
I
am desperate for attention.
I can't shut up.
I can't
shut up. I'm not that smart.
I am dumb. And it's like, I know that. And then they go like, also, you're not that big of a 49ers fan. And I'll be like, I'll fucking kill you, bro. I'll fucking kill you, bro. Like,
there's one thing
where they go, your dog's not well trained. It's like, I'll fucking grab you in the throat.
What I do, which is even worse,
is
I do the, if they go like, you know, whatever it is, your dog's not, I'll do the like that. And then I'll take the pause and it's the psycho's pause where you go like, and you go like, and in my eyes for that second, settled. I'm like, first of all, I don't know if I like them anymore.
Yeah,
second of all, 14 years of friendship gone. Now I'm thinking of such mean things that I'm like, well, I wouldn't want to say that to them because I know that would hurt them. But I'm like, but if I like laugh a little before, and then I'm like,
dude,
I'm turning into such a piece of shit. They didn't mean it. And then I go, I'm in the wrong situation for me.
Oh, man. A lot of times we do these ads, and granted, whether it's like clothing or stuff that I'm wearing, I generally like to sell it, but I used ZocDoc yesterday. I have a problem with my foot. I think I either pulled or damaged a tendon in my foot. I need to go see a podiatrist. I pulled up ZocDoc. I'm logged in. I got all my health insurance info in there. They gave me a doctor in network. I got an appointment for tomorrow morning, and I made it yesterday. So within 3 days, I got an appointment. I'm going to go meet my new podiatrist, probably get some inserts, maybe get some cream for my feet. I don't know what's going on with it, but I'm going to find out, all because of ZocDoc, because I went on ZocDoc on the app. You can also go to ZocDoc.com, and you just can book a doctor that can help you with exactly what you need. I'm telling you, if you maybe you're moving to a new city, maybe you're starting a new job, or insurance, a situation where you suddenly have to prioritize your health, you should use ZocDoc.com. Your health matters, and taking care of yourself shouldn't be complicated. Find and book the right doctor with ZocDoc. Head to ZocDoc.com/Soder to get started and check that appointment off of your to-do list. That's ZocDoc.com/Soder. If you're running a business, first off, congratulations, because I think you've got more chutzpah than I ever will. But starting a small business, very difficult. You need the right kind of tools to make sure it gets off the ground. Well, Square is the platform behind the scenes of so many businesses that you already love. Whether you're selling smoothies, cutting hair, fixing bikes, or running a boutique, Square gives you the one connected system to take payments, manage inventory, run payroll, send invoices, all of that stuff. It's not just a point of sale. Square also includes hardware that works in person and on the go, and software for managing staff, marketing, and customer insights. Banking tools like Square Checking to get paid instantly. All the stuff you need is with Square. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get up to $200 off. $200 off Square Hardware at square.com/go/Soder. That's SQUARE.com/GO/Soder. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today. Bobby Kelly had a joke from like, I think of this joke at least once a month, but he had a joke 20 years ago about when your friends are making fun of you and you take it too far because you're mad. And they're like, ah, yeah, you're a fucking loser. And he's like, yeah, well, your mom's sick. Yeah. And the guy goes, hey, and you go, that's always the feeling I have where I go way too quick.
So when I was growing up, my mother was from a family of 9 brothers and sisters Chicago. Tough people.
Crazy, too.
My siblings and I are sissies from the suburbs, but my mother and her family were genuine tough people.
In Chicago.
And they were, yes, very genuine, old school tough
people. Any accent?
Yeah, Chicago. D's and does. Yeah, so T's become D's. These are those. They would
brother, call him, my brother Bob.
Yeah, my brother Bob. You know, it'd be Bobby, and everything's from the neighborhood. My brother Bobby's from the neighborhood, and then Timmy was over there. But this fucking this guy says to me,
"I love the North." Yes. Is that North or South? It's North Chicago.
Yeah,
where they go. Well, I've been on the force for damn near 20 years. You'd think I'd have some respect from them. I like the Chicago. Yeah, like,
it's the best.
I don't know why people think Caleb Williams is a gay. I mean, he's got his nails painted, but the guy can put a ball on a dime.
I love that North. I love it.
That North Chicago shit to me is up there with the Philly and the Boston accent. The best. Subtle, because everyone knows a New York accent.
Yes, agreed.
Everyone knows a Texas accent. Yes. Everyone knows a Southern accent, but like the Mid-Atlantic with Baltimore and Philly.
Yeah.
To me, Chicago, Boston, and Philly and Baltimore.
Well, especially when it comes to that type of man and sports.
Yeah.
My favorite thing going to Caleb Williams has been watching that type of man. That man now, by the way, that you're describing, is now 70 or dead. So
that is really the Bears. That's the Bears generation.
The younger Chicago is different.
Sure.
But that Chicago because I left in 2003, was my dad and his group.
Yeah.
Where my father used to sell cars on the South Side of Chicago. My father was in a commercial where he goes, it's City Chevrolet. He throws a ball like that. It cuts to a shot of the gun in the air. It swishes. Scotty Pippen and Horace Grant go, it's a sure shot.
No way.
Yes.
Dude. No way.
I swear on my life.
I call that the Webster shot.
Yeah, my dad did a Webster shot. You throw it, and there was a period of the 80s that was cool.
Dude.
It was one editor goes like this, you know what you could do?
Just put it in the air.
And everyone goes, you think it'll work?
And he goes,
nobody will know.
Dude, they...
They did it all the time.
The Webster, I think Michael Jordan might be in the episode. I forget, there's an NBA player in the episode, and he's like, throw it up, little man. And he goes like, huh.
Cut
and then,
two.
And then he goes...
They cut two.
Yeah.
Switch.
Yeah. And you go, and
bullshit.
And it worked.
Yeah, I mean.
Now people would go, fuck you.
Well, now you've got little weirdos in like green outfits doing trick shots and being like, I threw a ball off a mountaintop. And then there's like a weirdo on a zip line being like, let me show you how it's done. I grabbed it.
You're love those. When those come up in my feed of a guy in like a castle on a coastline like and he throws it and the ball goes,
Dan,
like down in a hoop, I'm like,
no way. I did until I saw one of the green guys. Now I hate those guys in a way.
Okay.
Could you imagine being like, all right, the two of us, let's say we're starting a business. We're real grinders. You know what I think we could do? We can make these videos, these trick shots. I go, dude, I think we can start making 70,000 bucks each. Let's all go to Scotland. You get in the fucking weird green outfit. Yeah. You film, and I'm going like this. Here we are. You do this whole thing. All you're doing, it's like worse than magic.
Yeah.
Just try to hit a fucking trick shot.
Oh, I'm talking about the guys that actually hit the trick shots.
Real trick shot guys.
Real
are great.
Trick shot guys. I'm not talking about the ones that fake that shit.
No, but my problem is now
I'm talking about the actual ones that keep trying and you see them try and then they get it.
Even those, I think you're believing in magic.
I'm a pro wrestling fan. I'm a mark. I fucking believed Hulk Hogan was a good guy.
Yeah. By the way, his documentary was so fun.
You get to episode 4 and you go, there you go. You're gonna really talk about it. Because I watched episode 1 and I was ready to run through a wall for Hulkamania. Yeah. And then I go, right, fucked over everyone in the business and was super racist. Got it.
It's hard stuff.
But I'm a mark. So, like, yeah, I love trick shots.
Interesting.
I love trick shots. Mark. Total mark, dude. Can't go to Vegas. Can't go to anywhere where they could sell me shit. Because they'll be like, this fucking idiot. Can't go to a car lot. When we buy a car, she's going to have to go. Because I'm going to be like, I'll take it. I'll take it right now.
You know, I did a podcast. We're here to help. We'd love to have you on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gareth, my partner, is Mark.
Oh, my God.
We used to call him Option 1. Literally, we don't even get to Option 2. We'll do bets with each other in real life. And it's like, we were talking years ago where he's a big Packer fan. I'm a Bear fan. And he goes,
great.
There's no fucking way Brett Favre is going to go to the Vikings. And if he does, he'll never win a Super Bowl. And I go, well, I think they're talking about him going to the Vikings. And if he does, they're going to be good. This was back then.
I remember that. I remember that NFC Championship.
He goes, not a fucking chance. He goes, dude, if he does that, I'll put a fucking pole in my dick and cut it off. And I go, well, you won't do that.
Because that's crazy.
I was like, well, that's also stupid. We're on a hike. You're being stupid. But would you get a tattoo of Brett Favre in a Vikings jersey that covered your whole leg that said, my MVP? And he goes, yeah. And we shook hands. I go, deal. Well, there was a pause. And then he goes, well, what do I get if I don't? And I go, like, we already shook, man. You took option 1. Wait for option 2, brother. He still does it to this day.
Gareth, I'm an option 1 boy myself. And that is why. But what's key in life is to find an option 2 person to marry. Because she is bogged down by option 2 that when we were furniture shopping, when we moved from Jersey into this place, she was like, I looked at this couch. I don't know. I went in the store and I sat down. I'll take it. And she was like, what the fuck? And I go, well, you did the research, right?
Yeah. So it's a nice point. So I'm a big option 2 guy.
Okay.
I am not a mark. And it's not. So I don't think mark or not mark has any mark of intelligence.
Want people to be happy.
The illusion that a non-mark is like, well, you got it all figured out.
Yeah.
Just more paranoid.
That's what it is?
You just go like this.
Can I tell you? That helps the insecurity of being a mark a little bit. Because you go, okay.
If someone's going like this,
yeah,
I don't know where it is, but I know you're fucking me over.
Yeah.
So someone's go $20, I'll go like this, no, no, no. And then they go, you know what, you were right, it was a hustle. I don't know what the hustle is. I know I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but I know this fucking
rat.
Somebody goes like this, this is not a thing, it's not mark, it's just fun. There's a marble, catch the marble. If you get the marble, I go like this, I don't know what you're doing. But nobody in my group's giving you any money.
If you were a cat, I'd spray bottle you right now. I'd fucking...
Yes, whatever you're doing. And they'll be like, honestly, it's not. It's a promotion for Red Bull. Everybody wins. And I go like this. You're not even faking me. I don't care that the CEO of Red Bull's right there.
Oh, you got
there.
A car with wings on it full of cans.
Hey, let me tell you this, pal. Pretty good hustle.
Do you think that's because your dad was a car dealer and you kind of watched the sausage be made on getting on him hustling people?
Kind of. So my dad...
Was it a used lot or a...
It was used and new. It was Chevy. Yeah, so buddy. My dad was gone when I was 2, came back when I was 18. So I missed a lot of his stuff.
And you mean gone. He was gone.
Drunk, alcohol, party guy.
Shout out, same here. Agreed. Mine clocked out at 14.
I heard it on a video. What was
my dad?
Drunk.
Yeah, he was like an alcohol. Like he was like an abandoned a family drunk. Right. Like where he was like
he would go on a bender and be gone.
No, he just my parents got divorced. He hung around for 3 months, and then he was like, "All right, I'm gonna go to San Francisco." And then I had to be like sent out by myself to go find him. And I would stay with him at my grandma's, and then they moved up to Northern California and shit got. And then it went from like seeing him twice a year to seeing him once a year to seeing him every other year to seeing him once every 2, and then he died.
Ugh.
So it was like we never got that. So
you never got the finish.
No, which
that's hard.
I would argue for anybody that's lost a dad early or a mom and that has that kind of shit, the hardest part is going like, I thought we were gonna fix it. I thought you were gonna come back or at least have some resolution. So when he comes back at 18, does he come back full into your life? I'm sober, or is he just go
so
like
so when I was 17, I was the youngest, so obviously I'm graduating.
Of how many?
3.
Okay.
So he sobers up.
When you're 17.
17, almost about 18.
When did your parents break up?
When I was 2. So
and then he was gone.
He lived near, but it was like the Terrell Owens thing.
Yeah.
Where it would be like
sit-ups in the driveway.
My dad is 3 miles that way.
Yeah.
But never at a game, never at anything, never showed up. Never. He would call, say we were going to go golfing, not come for some reason.
Oh, man, that move.
That move. Like,
brother, that's what makes America, yeah, is looking at headlights going, here he is.
Yeah,
nope.
But that move where you'd be like, it, as a kid, now I'm nearly 50 and it does change as you get older. But you look back and you go like, weird move, brother. Just don't invite.
Can I tell you why? There was no ability to reach people besides letter or phone. Totally. So they knew they weren't on the hook. Because my dad gave a hell of a speech when I was 11 about catching my Pop Warner football game when I was in seventh grade, to the point that I was like, all right, dude, I was like doing more off-season training like, I'm not going to be a bum when this guy shows up. I'm going to be good. And then by the end of the season, I was like, I talked to him once or twice and I go, hey, you coming out? And he goes, oh, the season's ending. You go, what do you think? It's NFL? You think it's 16 weeks? We're fucking 12. We got 8 games.
You think we're going deep into the playoffs for network money?
Yeah, it's over before November. It's over before November. We're not going to be on Peacock. No. No one fucking cares. We're at Mission Viejo Park. But he did that thing. And yeah. Your dad did the same thing.
So my dad would do a thing where it would be, the movie Parenthood kind of shows it perfectly with Joaquin Phoenix.
Where Joaquin Phoenix, and that's where Keanu Reeves snaps on the guy.
Yes. And Joaquin Phoenix come home and destroys the dentist thing.
Shout out, dude.
But that movie,
like, I forgot about that part.
I know. So that scene for me, when I watched it, I was like, that movie's cool.
Yeah.
I was like, because that is what it feels, you go like, because you have to play to your mom and to other women.
Yeah.
I don't care. And you don't even know why, because they're being sweet to you.
Yeah.
So like my mom was at my sister had surgeries growing up. So my mom and my sister were gone and my aunt was staying with us. And it was me and my brother. And my dad said he was going to pick us up or something. I don't even remember what the context was, but my aunt told my mom and my mom was like, he's not coming.
Damn.
And then my aunt said, Jake, just let me help. It was like a home, like, let me help you. We'll do it. And I was like, my dad's coming.
Oh,
and I was sitting outside, and I remember the sadness of her.
Oh,
but I wasn't sad because I was like, "You're overreacting, Goofy. He's coming." Yeah. And then with each 15 minutes, I had to do the at a certain point, be like, "You know what? I think I'm gonna bail on this and head back upstairs." Your read was incorrect.
The read that what I'm thinking is a catch sounds awful right about now.
I just have to say something kind of like where I'm at.
Yeah.
Pardon these tears. I'm having allergies.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what I just remembered is I have homework.
Yeah. And
something you don't want to do.
You know what this old cat wants to do is I want to be in my room by myself. Literally no drama.
And I'm going to put my face in the pillow, and I'd appreciate it if you don't come in there.
And if you come in, it's a joke.
I'm sleeping, and oh my God, I can't believe you thought I was sad. Cash App. Got to use the Cash App. Going to use the Cash App. Hey, listen, I know cash isn't king anymore. Now it's all about apps. What app you use and what app you can bank with and all that stuff. Sometimes, you know, they stink. And sometimes they're great. That's what Cash App is. It's one of the great ones. It does more than you think when it comes to having your back and making sure your money stays your money. Cash App just released a new status program for the way people actually spend called Cash App Green. Now, when you spend at least $500 a month with Cash App Card, you earn green status, which unlocks benefits like $200 of overdraft coverage, huge. If you're overdraft unexpectedly, there are no hidden fees. You also unlock higher borrow limits and custom personalized cash back offers every Friday at places you love to shop. Turn everyday spending into status with Cash App Green. Download Cash App today and make your money work for you. Visit our link in the bio. Cash App is a financial service platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App Bank's partners. Prepared debit cards issued by Sutton Bank. Member FDIC. Cash App Visa double flex cards issued by Sutton Bank. Member FDIC and the Bancorp NA. Pursuant to license from Visa USA Incorporated. See terms and conditions for the Sutton prepaid card, Sutton debit flex cards, and bank debit flex cards. Cash App Green features savings, direct deposit, roundups, overdraft coverages, and discount provided by Cash App, a Block Incorporated brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosure. Ooh, it's the summer. Ooh, it means shorts weather. And that's why. Check out Mack Weldon's AirKnit fabric. It's all Aeros. It's underwear that's designed to wick moisture, fight odor, and give you maximum airflow. So even if you got those linen shorts on, sometimes those underwear can be bunchy. But you put that Mack Weldon AirKnit on, woo! Plus, you can browse AirKnit's full collection at MackWeldon.com. Plus, get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code DAN. We'll get back to that in a little bit. I'm saying, this summer, you're going to want to get some pieces that you go, you know what, I can wear this, but I want to look in style. And I want stuff that's made comfortable. Easy to style, versatile looks, all that and more. So don't sweat the heat this summer. Feel as effortlessly cool as you look with Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com. Get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code DAN. With promo code DAN. That's MackWeldon.com. Code DAN. There is something to be said about when you're a teenager or young in your teens, yeah, and you see an adult be sad.
It's the worst. I'll tell you what I hated even more. And this took me a lot of years to get over the resentment. When you see another family's mom be extra nice to you because she's sad about something that's happening in your house.
Dude, you are preaching to the choir.
You could always call me, and they go like this. Also, you know, you could also bring this to school, and you're going like this.
Can I tell you, and this is something that I think very rare anyone would identify with this. When you have to keep the other adult being nice from you, from your mom, because you don't want your mom to know.
I even say that now, my mom would kill. So there was a moment, and we've been.
Trish, I know you're watching, but it's true. Be cool.
Thank you for raising me. I love you.
You gave me such a great life. Thank you so much. But it was fucking crazy.
The only reason I'm in a happy relationship is because of you. Please.
You're the reason I'm a decent human being. But it is, someone was sad for you about something your shitty parent did, you tried to keep the good parent.
Because it was always, I would say, someone would be like, are you sad your dad's not here? And I go, no, my mom's both.
Yeah, dude.
And I went to a great public school in a really nice neighborhood. I did not have that childhood in like a bad neighborhood.
So I grew up in the suburbs and I went to a great high school.
As safe as it gets, whatever.
Yeah, it was not, my life was never in danger.
Same with me. Not bad, everything was fine.
Yeah.
Literally one day, I think there was a scheduling thing and we forgot a lunch.
Okay.
I was always chubby.
Okay.
I was not a hungry kid.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. You go, I know when a meal was missed.
I mean, I for sure had like double McDonald's after and everyone felt bad. But there was a day.
Oh, the meals you got when people were sad for you? Oh,
I loved off it. Oh. I still do. Yeah. I still do this stuff with the wife where she's like, how you doing from New York? I'm like, just so tired.
Yeah, dude, that's what I do. Dude, I'm not joking. I'm going to Stanford, Connecticut this weekend. So I'm going to call her and be like, I just miss you and the dog. I'm going to eat Burger King.
It's so gross.
I love it. I love sloppy food.
It's the best. Junk food's my biggest thing.
Same.
Yeah, for one meal, all of us fucking sudden, this group of moms do this thing. And back then it was pre-email where they said, like, why don't we do like a meal train and we will bring lunches so that your mom can just worry about what's going on with your sister. We know what's happening with your dad.
Okay.
When my mom found out, the amount of fucking trouble we were in.
That's what it is. Because, and honestly, now that you're a parent and you're older and you're in your, you know, in your 40s, yeah. I'm in my 40s, you can kind of see it. You go, their anger wasn't that you did something wrong.
No.
It is sheer embarrassment and like.
And also like, you don't have it bad.
Yes.
So what we were talking about, our dogs.
Yes.
But it's that. So then what my mom would then do is go over the top. She was like, just so we never mess a fucking meal in this fucking house, we had a basement fridge that we had to make 9 months worth. We'd be, my brother and I are sitting there making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches like workers in a factory. And then every morning you get, and she'll go, oh, did you grab your fucking lunch so that Mrs. blah, blah, blah? And then she'll go, because you're not eating enough. And I'd be like, I didn't fucking say anything.
I didn't rat on you, Trish. I like my lunches. I didn't fucking rat.
Now I got to eat turkey and eat this man of frozen ice chips.
When he comes back when you're 17.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie. My dad died when I was 14.
Died at 14.
Yeah. When I was 14, he died. When I was 13, I had real heat for him.
Oh, I had real heat.
I had real. So you
did. My biggest fantasy was, my biggest life injustice was my, you know, before you go to bed, you masturbate or you do something to like calm your brain down and self-soothing. You're like, let me go back to this pleasure-seeking missile, right? And then you relax and pass out.
Great.
Mine was going to my dad's condo and beating him up. And I would imagine the door, dragging his ass into the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like a penthouse letter where the better the, the description, the hornier you get.
Yeah, but it was, it was.
Ooh, as I kicked open the single lock.
But it was soothing.
Yeah.
And it was.
So you really wanted to fuck him up.
So what happened was we would have times when my mom would get too much and she would, you know, say, I can't keep doing this. And it's time to go to your dad's. And we would drive to his house. We'd be begging her no. We'd get to his house. He would come out in his boxers and say no.
No way.
Yes.
He would deny
he
the
He would
hang.
Say no.
So then, get him the fuck out of here.
No, it would be more like, Eve would, no. This, you know, and he wasn't sober. Yeah. So then we'd have to get back in the car. My mom would have to do the, I say, we're going to just make this work with us. And we got to start doing some chores. And I'm like, did you say something I love and that's a schedule? Because if it's about dishes, these hands are made for cleaning.
Ooh, responsibilities, please.
You know, actually, everything you're saying that you like in a day is what I like in a day.
Yeah, that watching them go like, fuck it, we'll do it. Is you're like that's a very specific experience to have with a single mom.
Yes.
Where they go like,
that's, and but you also,
all right, we'll do it. And then you go like, you're either on board, which I was on board.
Yeah.
Whenever some terrible shit would happen to us, my mom would always go, we'll get through this.
Always.
And you're like, hell yeah. All right.
My mom has always been my rock.
Yeah.
My mom has. I jokingly tease her the most now. I'm now like using her voice notes on appearances on talk shows. My mom is a character. I love her. If my mom didn't raise me, there could have been a really bad ending.
That's,
when I see like a wild person under a bridge, I don't go, that alien is other than me.
Yeah.
I go, thank you, Eve J.
Yeah, dude, for real. I don't think that gets enough credit because like there really is a thing of like how fucking feral I would have been.
If I did not have a
mom that was like, hey, don't do that. Don't do that.
You're not allowed to do that. And when I would start fucking up, would be like, my mom was tough.
Yeah.
And now it's you and me. And I'd be like, I am afraid of you physically. Yeah.
Oh, I was afraid. In fact, I have a joke right now, or it's in my special John film that where I say I watch her get older and I go, God, I can't believe I was afraid of you.
Yeah.
Because I was so scared of her.
So scared.
The anxiety I would have when the garage door would open, when she would come home from work.
When Eve.
Because I was a bad kid too, or I was bad at school.
I was so bad at school.
So I'd be like, I never was like, I can't wait to show you this A. Yeah. She was coming home and I was like, I got in big trouble today because I was hilarious.
When I knew trouble was coming and I would hear.
It's giving me a feeling right now. You even saying that.
And I would hear, it would always be something would happen. It was really report cards and teacher conferences.
Yep.
Where.
Calls to home.
Calls to home.
Yep.
And I would hear the stomping. And I'd be like, Big Mama Eve is mad.
I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, and you would know trouble's coming.
Yeah. What's interesting about, because is your relationship with your mom now great?
Yes.
And she's like probably an awesome grandma.
She is. So what happened with my mom, what's really funny is it's currently happening. So my dad sobering up fucked a lot up. Meaning.
Really?
So he came back and was Mr. I do AA, I've changed. And my brother and sister were more evolved and they forgave him.
Because they're in their, at that point, they're
just,
in their 20s.
They're just a little bit older. They just obviously were more like, he seems different. And I would not forgive him. I would only
well,
meet.
You're the baby.
But when he would want to take amends, like make amends, I would meet him in bars. I would smoke his cigarettes and drink Stoli on ice. And I'd be like, Dad, you did. Like, I'm smoking marriage, dude.
Look
fuck
at me.
Fuck you. But also, like, I know you're going to slip up. You're not. It's the dumb thing about I'm not a mark.
Yeah.
You've seen The Intervention.
Yeah.
Where it's the Rocky, the boxing coach, and his two sons.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen that episode.
Where he goes like,
Nah, but I got to look it up.
It's the best one.
Okay. Big J and I used to watch a lot of Intervention together.
I mean, I've seen every episode.
Yeah, I got to watch that one. Rocky, the boxing coach?
No, the boxer.
Okay, the boxer.
He's got sons. He stops seeing them. But dad's kind of like, I don't give a shit. Fuck, I'm trying my best. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And then this son goes like, I hate you. Whatever. And the dad's like, I hate you too, motherfucker. And then this, you know, it's one of the, you're like, this isn't going to be a happy ending.
Yeah.
They're both getting too gnarly. And then the son goes, but somewhere deep down in me,
I must love you because I'm here.
Oh. And the dad goes,
I have seen that. I have seen that.
Was like, you know, it for me, it was with me and my dad. I hate you. You know, and then deep down, it was because I really loved him.
Absolutely.
And once the only reason. Also, I liked him.
Dude,
I thought he was cool. It was fun to be with him. We liked sports the same way. We sat the same way. He was a true chubby like me, where he would go, he'd sit down and he would go, you know, we're getting cheeseburgers. 8 Diet Cokes. And I'd go, why? And he'd go, 4 each. And I was like, I grew up with a woman who said Diet Coke gives you cancer.
Yeah.
You never get more than one soda.
And he goes, hey, we're going to get and 4. And he'd go,
hey, I drink them so fast. You drink them fast.
He was an addict, so he would go, look at what I got in the freezer. It'd be 12 ice cream bars. He'll go, start eating, honey, because they're going to be gone tonight. That means we're each eating 6.
I love that. I would have loved for Gary to have gotten to a sweet tooth thing, because he could cook. So that would have meant he would have been firing shit up. That was always the bummer. So, I mean, I guess I have a lot of questions because I never got to see that turnaround. Yes. At what point did you believe that he wasn't going back to the booze?
Years.
How many years?
I mean, he got sober when I was 17, probably when I was about 35.
Damn. So about 18 years it took to go like fucking walk the walk then.
We were friendlier, but it would be fake. He would always show up. He would always call. But then I started getting on TV and I'm like, easy to like me now.
Yeah.
I'd be like, easy to call now.
Dude.
But it would still be like, it's fun. But he didn't. He was richer than me. He didn't need anything from me.
Sure.
So I would just be like, yeah, whatever. And then over time, I just had to go like, oh, this is the real you, and you were sick. So my brother and I have an unfortunate take that I'm sure people are going to dislike, but we've always had a really hard thing with calling addiction a disease.
Yeah.
Because cancer's a disease.
Yeah, Norm Macdonald has the phenomenal bit about that.
What is it?
He's like, what a disease to get. He's like, what a fun disease to have.
So I've never
out boozing. And
so my dad's disease took him from raising 3 kids. One of them had a leg shorter than the other, was in and out of the hospital, and the mom had a pretty bad attitude, and took him to every prostitute in Chicago, the best cocaine in Chicago, friends with the Chicago Bulls during the Jordan era.
Sick.
New Michael Jordan.
Sick.
Because he was a dealer, he had his a car dealer on the South Side. He had a cocaine dealer on staff.
I love that. I love old fucking 80s, old 90s car dealer.
And that was his legit, like, literally would get, there'd be like a big thing where he would go like, another prostitution ring at Gibson Steakhouse. He was in all of this stuff.
Jesus.
Then when I was in high school, my aunt came and moved in with us, who was dying of cancer.
Sure.
And I was like, just 2 people with diseases.
Yeah. Same as my dad. Oh, yours is my dad. Do you do radiation for alcoholism? Yeah.
Your disease is killing you. His is too, but it's different.
Well, I think what it is, I think they use the word disease, and I know people that do believe that, but I think what it is because it's a condition.
Yeah,
and it is a condition.
I agree. So
because
my
the way you like fast food,
I agree,
is very similar to
I know it.
And dude, the way I get into shit,
same,
and the way I like shit,
I get addicted to everything.
And I go like, oh, I had it. Now I want 1,000 of them.
But also, not only just food, ideas, projects.
Anything. You can see why people, you know, I think addictions aren't, it's like, you know, I don't think this is like a popular take, but I think it's true, is I would rather have a substance addiction than sex, food, or money, or gambling.
Tell me why.
Because I know I just, it's like having a food allergy.
Yeah.
Just a food allergy. I can't have alcohol.
Yeah.
If I ate, I'm allergic to scallops. If I eat scallops, I'll puke and shit everywhere. I'll never eat scallops.
Yeah.
I don't hate scallops.
Yeah,
I don't
I have
a disease that stops me from eating scallops, but I go, I have a condition where I can't eat scallops.
So I'm just not allowed to. So my buddy who got into the program, we were having big talks about this, and I was being really cunty about my dad, then being like, well, yeah. And then finally he goes, so take away the word disease and view it like, just call it an allergy. And I went, by the way, all my little bitchiness for no reason, I think it's so wonderful you're in the program and so is everybody. You have an allergy and that allergy makes you lose control when you have a sip and you drink too much, you fuck your life up. I think that's so great for you, and I just think it's so great for my dad.
Yeah.
And I went like, oh, I'm just being a bit, literally, I'm just a childhood anger about nothing. and it's just a word. But the truth is, my dad then did sober up, was always consistent.
Great.
Kept showing up.
Great.
And then as I got older in life, I would lean on him. And I would find times that I would realize I'm doing something weird over and over, and I'm not seeing it.
Sure.
And he would go,
well, have you ever considered this, honey?
Yeah.
And I would go, no, but that's really, and I was like, and so I don't, I feel like this would kind of hurt me in reverse, and I don't mean to because I like you. But I do feel like I got what a dad is supposed to be. It was later.
Dude, brother, if you can get okay. it at any moment.
But I
don't give a shit about that, because I think what's interesting about that, especially for people that have lost parents, is if you understand where your parent size hole is,
right,
you will understand,
can start fixing it.
You will understand also what bumps up against it.
Yes.
If you have a cut on your ribs and people keep touching your ribs, you go, don't do that. Don't do that. But they don't necessarily see the cut or the surgery scar.
You're just reactive.
You're reactive.
So what I saw later in life is what a dad is supposed to do. Now,
sure.
I was too old. So I couldn't be like, well, thank you, daddy.
It's like getting $100 at Toys R Us cash at 40, where you go, I can do this myself. That's you also go,
you know what it's actually, cool. You know what it's actually like in terms of the Toys R Us? It's like having a credit card.
Yeah.
And now you go, I can buy whatever the fuck I want.
Yes.
And you go, this was always the dream. And you go, I'm not going to buy anything,
but I can.
But I now get what that means.
When I am, and I'm serious about this, when I'm on the road and I stop at a Walmart or a Target to get something, what I will always do is walk through the toy section to go, I could buy this whole fucking thing right now. And I don't want to. I just walk through and I go, I could buy every fucking toy right here. Because when I was little,
you wanted them so
my
bad.
Mom and I, you know, my mom did all right, but money wasn't, we didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Money was always on her mind.
Yeah, it was always a conversation.
It was, I had to wear clothes from Target until I was in high school and I had a job and I could, and then she would let me get a couple good pieces of clothes.
Yes.
But it was always like, we weren't tight on money, but we weren't rich. But I remember always going to Target and being like, damn, I want this. And she'd be like, no, you don't have any money. And you're like, one day I'll have money. And then now when I do and I walk by, I go, I'll buy all these fucking G.I. Joes. My question about getting a dad later in life and having kids, is there any resentment towards, like, what's the relationship of your dad with your kids?
Well, he's dead now.
Okay, when did he, was he alive when they were alive?
Yeah, but he was not involved.
Okay.
Not in a dramatic way.
Okay.
So I saw this great Instagram clip that like broke me down.
Sure.
And it was an old man clowning around for his grandkids and then jumped in a pool.
Yeah.
And it said, when grandparents love being a grandparent, it means they miss being a parent.
Sure.
And when they don't, it means they never really were meant to be a parent.
And completely
I'm like,
agree.
That's interesting.
I completely agree. And that's like the old saying of like, if you don't raise your kids, your parents have to raise your kids.
Yes.
And if you do raise your kids, your grandparent, your parents get to spoil your kids.
That's exactly right.
And that's what it is. It's like, if you don't raise, I'm saying this wrong. They say, if you don't raise your kids, you're going to end up raising your grandkids.
Oh, that's
and if you raise your kids, you're going to be able to spoil your grandkids.
But it's the same because it makes sense because you go, yes, it's just putting the emphasis on the parents.
Exactly.
But you're like, I think that's totally right. So my also, dad, but my dad wasn't a bad guy. He just
didn't, shouldn't probably have.
He just wasn't. He went, but here's what he
probably
was.
Probably didn't want to be a fucking parent.
But he did, but it was just in the old world.
Sure.
Here's what he wanted. He wanted to go to work, essentially have his women he was having an affair with party, and then have the kind of woman that just put up with it because he was bringing home money.
Yeah, he wanted a guma at work.
He just married kind of the wrong person. And a lot of those guys made a whole life work.
Did your mom get remarried?
Never. Never even dated. How about Trish?
Never even dated. No. My mom dated.
Oh, she did. So there were guys
bits.
Around.
I got bits.
You do.
I got
bits. You got bits for days on these
guys. I got bits.
How many siblings you got?
None. I was an only child between my mom and my dad, but my dad had a daughter with another woman.
So you were locked in with Trish.
Yeah, we were.
You were a team.
When we go back to Denver for Christmas, we've been together for 7 years, engaged for three.
Cool.
And she will go back and go, like, when we leave Colorado, she always goes, your guys' relationship astounds me. And I go, what do you mean? She's like, you guys are in a two-man band. You're just like,
so crazy.
You're like the White Stripes. You're just like playing. You're just like, it's just you two.
Totally.
And it really is like, there's like this.
Yeah, it's magic.
There is this familiarity. There's this shorthand.
Yes.
There's this like understanding. And also there's a quick to get annoyed,
totally.
Quick to get angry,
but what,
quick
yes,
to get.
But here's a positive. And this is what I'm, because I moved my mom to LA 3 weeks ago or a month ago. And I'm
from Illinois,
from Chicago.
Okay.
And I'm sure you have this too.
Mm-hmm.
my mom, no matter how much I annoyed her, was always my biggest fan. And yeah. we were the only people I can ever relate to when they talk about moms is rappers.
Yeah.
So whenever a rapper talks about their mom.
Or a number one draft pick.
Or a number one draft pick. But yeah. when someone's talking about what this means to them, well, not anymore. Now number one draft picks, all their dads trained them.
So yeah, I know.
This
they're
is
all,
the first NBA
they're
draft.
All guys
where
that
I, was like,
I watched in the 90s. Yeah. Where you go, Ron Harper's kid's going to the NBA?
And he did a great job as a dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
The NBA draft for me was, well, this is what goes to show when you have a generation of men who break the cycle.
Yeah.
All these dads were like, I was around my kids, and then like all the kids are like, we love our dad and our mom so much.
I
like,
love you both. I love both of my parents
like,
equally.
This feels like a wonderful family.
Yeah, but it was.
It was different.
But I know what you're saying when you talk to rappers or people where you go like.
But we have a deal. My mom and I felt like we had an unspoken deal.
Yeah.
And that deal was, we're going to make this work together.
Yep.
And it's going to figure it out, and we're going to be okay, and we are in this dance forever. And what's nice is a lot of years when my dad came back, my mom kind of did the, oh, well, I fucking lost again. Then go.
So all of a sudden, yes. I'm second fiddle.
And but my mom is so old that it wasn't even that touch. I'm not guilting you for you to take me back. Fuck you then.
Yeah.
Then do what you got to do. And I'm like, I haven't made a decision. It feels like a boss going, all right, I'm looking to hire somebody. We have an interview at 1 and 2. You're leaving?
Yeah.
And you go like this. You got an interview at 1 and you go, yeah, but it's probably going to, then fuck you. And you go, okay.
Yeah, fine.
I mean, I was for sure going to hire you.
But it's weird. You're up in my shit that
you're
I'm interviewing
so
someone else.
You're so mad at me. Yeah, what I'm doing is normal here.
You know what's very interesting about that is the idea of when you're raised in a situation where the mom is overburdened by
the responsibility.
Yes. It's you grow up with her kind of full court pressing you the whole time because she has to.
Yes.
So there was a moment in my after I quit drinking where I had like a long conversation where I was like, I love you. You're always going to be one of the most important people in my life. Back the fuck up.
Oh, you did.
And I was like, you got to back the fuck up because I need my room for my own life. And
interesting.
She was very receptive to it.
Cool.
Very positive about it.
Saved the relationship.
And I say that all the time.
That moment.
That fucking
moment.
Conversation.
It's crossroads.
To where now I can go, hey, you're hitting the barrier. And she goes, all right. And you're like, great.
But that's a woman that wants a relationship with her son.
And she's also a fan. She was a fantastic mom. Yeah. She was a fantastic
mom.
Mom
was too.
And that feeling of, you know, acting very similarly to stand-up is just this like, you might as well tell your mom you're going into space to be a fucking space ranger.
Yeah.
And there could be treasure out there.
Yes.
But I don't know. I'm a space pirate now.
But I think it's going to work.
But it could work. And if your mom goes like, just remember to tie your ship up.
Yes.
And you go, all right, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
My mom was very like, hey, can you please get your college degree? It's the only thing I ask. Right. It's the only thing I ask is your mom. And I was like, fuck it. But I did stand up while I was in college.
Totally right.
And then I got the degree and I was like, I'm going to go to New York and do stand up. And my mom was like, fuck yeah, good luck.
That's how my mom was doing.
And it was. And by the way, she didn't have any money to give me. She didn't have anything. But she was just like.
But it was always encouraging.
Yeah.
It was also the other thing is that for me, the thing that I still, and I'm sure it's the same with stand up, but what I love about acting. And the question I always get that I find so boring, where they'll be like, it's a similar character of a guy down on his luck stuck. And then I'm like, well, that's just because I like that arc.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about the arc. I don't care about the character's job. I'm just in it for the tone and the tone management.
Yeah.
Because that's the itch and that's the addiction. I would be at home and the vibe would start getting tense.
Sure.
And if it gets tense, things could go sideways.
Which is.
And I like the situation right now with this woman, my siblings, here.
Sure.
So what if I tried to take the tone that is clearly going sideways?
Yeah.
And if I could find, not in my sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
but in the rhythm of right now with this dialogue, how do I get that woman to think this is funny?
Yeah.
And when you find that, and my brother and I, that's when we became real comedy partners.
Yeah.
He would always, because he was always smarter than me.
Sure.
So we would start, and we talked about it as we were older, we would start making eye contact and communicating. Yeah. And what he would do is he would start basically setting up premises.
Great.
So my mom would be like, and the fucking mess, and I'm doing it on my own. And he'd be like, and I agree. And she'd be like, you're saying that. And he'd go like, and he'd be like, and what we got to do is we have to come up with a schedule and look at me. And I'd be like, oh, schedule. And no one would laugh. And I'd be like, and she'd be like, it's not a fucking time. And he'd be like, that was a mess. I went absurd, and it wasn't. And you keep going, but when you land it, she laughs. And then when the dust settles, either me or my brother would go, I think you're right. It is messy. If you give us a couple days knowing, if you get past this 20 minutes,
yeah,
then we're going to go back to fucking off.
Yeah.
But we just got to get past this 20 minutes.
That's what it is. You have turbulence. Get through the turbulence.
Once we're into turbulence, we both know we're taking our belts off and having another drink.
Yeah.
And but right now, you're scared. We're all scared.
Yeah. That's what it, that really is. And I used that, to have a lot of moments.
That to me is still the job.
Yeah. My thing was, because I was, the power dynamic was single mom and child, and she had a boyfriend who she's trying to impress.
That's scary.
But I don't give a fuck about right. this dude. Oh, I'm so trying you to could be funny. So I don't care about what this guy thinks of me. I'm just trying to be funny, honestly,
and
at the moment.
And not physically afraid of him ever.
No, not really.
That's cool.
I think there never really was a time. She it never brought anyone like that. Around that was like violent or anything.
Just a dude.
It was just a dude, and I was like, well, watch me be funny in a way that almost will offend my mom, but if I can make this guy laugh,
interesting.
And it was like kind of fun to like be like, I'm actually a good time. And then what really kicked it into overdrive was high school with my friends, and right. they would be over, and I would have my friend like Danny would be there, and I would like make a joke at her, but knowing it would land
yeah,
with okay. him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
then he sure. would be laughing, and she's not going to get mad at him.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's going to go, Danny. And he's going to go, I'm sorry. That's just so funny. And then there's moments where she'll be like, all right, it is funny. And you're
I
agree. Like,
and then it's fun. So we had a thing, my brother and I, with my dad, and I've told this before, but we've never talked about it. But the way I actually got close with my dad was because he partied so hard for so long.
Sure.
It pickles your brain.
Yeah.
And anybody who claims it doesn't, like,
it's CTE of partying.
It really, and there's a moment where you're still there. And look, I loved him by the end. We were truly, he was in my top five of best friends, not as a bit.
Sure.
But we could do a game that we used to do. And that is the three of us would be sitting in a room, and my brother and I could text each other words. And the goal was, my dad's nickname was Croco, as in crock of shit.
Yeah.
And he's the only impression I do, but my impression of him is good. I was obsessed with him. So, it's the only reason that people go, you doing Columbo? It's actually my dad.
That's fantastic.
And he was Xing Shang, and it was a dance. Yeah, it was this, and let me take the broad shake. And so what we would do, we'd be sitting there, and my brother would text me, pink monkeys.
Yeah.
And I would text back like, too hard. And he'd be like, you can. And I would go, hey, Croc. I'd be watching a Cubs game. He'd go, eh. And I go, you take a bunch of red and a bunch of white. You mush it together. What do you get? He'd go, a mess. We'd all be like, no. And he'd go, no, the colors. You put them together. He'd go, a slap jab. He'd be like, he's trying to be funny. But something. I go, no, Dad, what the color? And he goes, oh, that color makes pink. And you go, like, yeah. And then you go, let's play a fucking crazy ass game. You go, what do we, everything you do is crazy. And I go, what animal makes this sound? You go, a fucking monkey. My brother's dying laughing.
That's
my
fun.
Dad thinks.
He's laughing because he did
the I'm doing the fucking monkey. I'm doing the fucking pink. And he's getting that jumpy energy. I go, put the fucking words together. And he go, pink. I'm like, no.
Say
put in. You go, pink monkey. And my brother would go, you got it.
That's so fun.
The three
that's
of us would die laughing.
That's what I know. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted in a sibling, was a partner in crime.
Comedically.
Because I finally got it with her. When we go home, my mom will say shit, and I can like look at Katie and be like,
it's so crazy. Fun.
And then it's like, I tell her on the drive back always, I'm like, I'm so glad I have you. Because it's so much better having someone.
Well, it's a relief.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, what I learned for a while, because then I was like, I know I'm mean and I know I take my comedy too far, but I was like, I actually, in my heart of hearts, I don't think it's against these people.
No.
It's literally, it feels good. And then I would realize it's not for others. Like, I can still.
That's the best comedy.
It's just for us.
And I'm like,
that's where, but if you go back to our game, what I've got to at this point in my life is, that's acting now. Yeah. I'm doing a press tour right now for the Dank July 24th.
Check it out on Apple TV.
Thank you so much. But the reality of it is, I love the movie. I'm doing the game.
Yeah.
Because when those moments are happening, it's fucking joyful.
So when you're doing the Dink, and it's like, you know, you're playing like a tennis player that now goes into the world of pickleball.
Yeah.
What do you practice tennis?
Because
you had to have a good swing.
So what happened on this one, which was different, is Sean Roger Clemens with a T, Clemens. How would you say Roger?
Not the rocker.
How would you say Roger Clemens with a T? Clemens with a T.
Clemson's.
See, Sean, this is what happens to me. Clemson. So Sean is my actual friend for 15 years. He hosts Hollywood Handbook. He's one of the best comedy writers, and like,
yeah.
He's so funny.
Yeah.
I refer to his name as Sean Clements. C-L-E-M-E-N-T-E. Clements.
Clements.
Clements. I was on a podcast. He goes, what you're saying is really nice. You're fucking saying my name wrong, you asshole. It's Clemens with a T. It made it so much worse.
Don't do that, because now Clemens with a T is how I'm going to say it every time.
That's now
formally, if I introduce you guys, he's Clemens with a T.
This is Sean Clemens with a
Sean
T.
Sean Clemens with a T.
Like Roger Clemens with a T.
Yeah, it's like the Rocket with a T. With a T. Rocket with a T. Roger
but
Clemens.
He and I went out and got lunch, and it was pre-presidential election.
Sure.
And he goes, what are you looking to do? And I was saying, we were just talking about where we're at in the game. And I said, honestly, man, I want to make something light with a lot of set pieces. I go, what I like about sitcoms is sometimes you'd get to set and the premise is funny.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, the crew's laughing while we're reading the scene because the premise is just a classic premise.
Sure.
And you go, it's just funny. Yeah. Now we're going to improvise and add stuff and add some heat to it.
Yeah.
But lately in the last few years when I've gotten more into like the drama comedy, you're like,
sure.
There's not like we're going to find something.
Yeah.
But it's not clean.
Yeah, you're not coming in going, the setup is making people laugh.
We are going to be in a spot where we're winning from the start.
Sure.
And I go, and I haven't had that, and I think those are going away at my level. Jumanji's still happening.
Sure.
But they're spending whatever kind of, I was like, how about a small budget indie that they're set pieces and every scene has a comedic presence with all funny people?
Yeah.
And we're just going after bits. And then there's emotional heart in the middle, and he goes, he goes, I got a movie I'm working on that Ben Stiller might be interested in producing.
Sure.
I'm obviously a fan.
Yeah.
And I go, what's it about? He goes, pickleball. What do you know about it? I said, nothing. I don't care about it. He goes, what do you think about tennis? I go, I don't care about it. And he's like, well, he then told me the premise. I'll give a spoiler, but it doesn't matter. But he said, it's based in real life. He used to play tennis. He got hurt his back. He wanted to get back to tennis. So he started playing pickleball to get back to tennis. He went to a court in Beverly Hills where there was these older women, like 75-year-old Asian ladies, and they asked him to play, and he was really embarrassed because he used to play, I think, in college or high school. He was good.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's okay. And one of the ladies, he could tell, was getting pissed off and was like, please play. And he was like, no, I'm just, and he's like, play. And they killed him.
Really?
Because part of the game when you first start, it's just all angles.
Yeah.
So if you know where to hit the ball, you're just not going to, it's a wiffle ball.
Sure.
So he then got beat, and then these old women who've never been able to do it started talking shit.
Great.
And then afterwards they said, play with us again. And then he started going out and getting coffee with them. But then he started getting embarrassed because he got caught up in their lives and he was becoming friends with them.
That's fantastic.
And he was telling me, I was like, all of this I love. And then he goes, then I want to invent you and one of them start having an almost will they, won't they? And I was like, really fun. And then I'll give something away because this is what sold me. And he goes, but then you decide, fuck the age. I'm in.
Yeah.
And I'm not scared no more. Right. And I was like, fuck yeah. And he goes, she's fucking awesome. She's fucking hot. We have Mary Steenburgen. Mary Steenburgen is hot.
We're the best.
And it's like,
you don't land Tim dancing without Ted
yeah, agreed. She's
without
a,
being
she's
beautiful.
A smoke show.
Yeah.
And it's, and we, Sean and I were both laughing. And then he goes, so then you like make the move. And she goes like, no. And I go, why'd she say no? And he goes, you go, if it's about the age thing, I'll screw. You're 30 years older than me. Who cares? And then she goes, I'm not sexually interested in you.
That's very
and I
funny.
Went, Sean, I love this movie.
Yeah, you go, please let me
I
do
was
that.
Like, okay. And then we started, we put it together. It was really indie.
That's very fun. And also, yes. That's where comedies live now.
Yes.
Comedies aren't going to be able, because, you know, everything you're describing right now makes me think of that period with like Role Models.
100.
And all that shit that was coming out where it was just a good setup.
And that type of movie.
Yeah.
Which was the movies I watched going, oh, those are what I want to do.
Sure.
Somehow just disappeared.
Superbad, all these movies that just go, a high school party, they need to get booze, that's a movie.
How about Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Unbelievable,
how about,
a guy gets cheated on and he writes the music
and
for...
Everybody who just comes in are comedic killers.
That's all
that they
is.
Come in for 2 days.
That's what it was. I mean, you know, and Apatow is great at that with 40-year-old Virgin and
get
Knocked
him,
Up.
Get him to the Greek, all of these.
Get him to the Greek, but he would be like, bring in Kevin Hart for Knocked Up.
Just come like, in for a scene.
Have that scene.
And so we want, and part of that is you got to fucking shoot in LA or New York.
Yeah, because you have to have people that are around.
Are willing to drive over.
Yeah.
So Sean and I were like, let's put this together, keep the budget small. We got our other friend, Josh Green. Jake Zemanski was going to direct it.
Sick.
Unbelievably talented dude. He had to go back to Jury Duty too.
Great. So, I mean, that fucking first season was unbelievable. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah, the second season's funny.
They casted someone that I love that I saw.
Ian Roberts?
Ian Roberts is great. There's someone else. What's her name? Lisa Gilroy.
Oh, Lisa Gilroy is so good.
She's like one of the funniest people out there right now. On something where you go, oh, hell yeah. But yeah, go do jury duty.
Go do your job. And then we got Josh Greenbaum, who's unbelievably talented. Sick, yeah. So he came in. We had a group of friends. We made it independently, raised money. And then Apple came out. And now we're pushing it like it's a studio comedy. But it's actually a little indie.
I love that. And it's on Apple TV, yeah. July 24th. This is the most sincere plug I've ever done on a podcast. I think we've done a lot
is
of episodes.
Real?
John will tell you, this is the most sincere plug we've ever done on a podcast. Because I genuinely was like, yeah. And then check out the date on July 24th on Apple TV. And usually
it's
I got to go,
man.
All right, it's a, you can see the link below. We just fucking walked into that. God damn, you have me driving off the lot in a Cadillac.
I know,
yeah.
A Chevy.
Yeah,
and
a Chevy.
And I'm going to put you in it. You know what I'm going to put you in? I'm going to put you in a Corsican. I'm going to tell you why.
Because
it feels sporty.
Yeah.
But you're not showy
and
like
you know
that.
What? While we're here, why don't you get me a Tahoe for the lady?
Oh,
let me get a red Tahoe.
Two for one. And I'm going to give you a deal that's going to blow your fucking mind.
Dude, Jake Johnson, one of the best. Yeah. One of the funniest people working. One of just a dude that's had a career where you're like, every time you pop up at something, you're like, this guy fucking rules.
Thanks,
man. So I'm so happy you were able to come do the podcast.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, Dan.
The Dink, July 24th, Apple TV. You fucking rule. Thanks,
you too, man. What a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. That was fun as hell.
That was fun.